My subject for this morning, what is your life? And that is also my text for today. That is a part of James chapter 4 and verse 14. I'm not going to read from that passage just now. I'll read from there a little later. What is your life? For our first reading, will you open your Bibles with me to Psalm 90? Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90, and I'm going to commence reading at verse 1, and I'm going to read down to the end of verse 12. Psalm chapter 90 and verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labour and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I want you right now to analyse your past life. I want you to think about things that have dominated your life in the past. I want you to think about the major things that have taken place in your life in the past. I also want you to analyse your current situation in life. Think about the things that are taking place in your life right now. And also, I want you to think about your plans and your goals for the future. So in your mind right now, analyse your past, your present, and that which you have in mind for the future. I want you to determine whether or not you are satisfied with your past and with your present. And I want each one of us to truthfully think about these things before God this morning. And the reason I want this is because they are extremely important to every one of us. The Bible tells us, and we know from observation, that life is short. Life here on planet Earth is very short. As we read from Psalm chapter 90, verse 10, 70 years. Some people live a little longer, but 70 years is what the Bible has to say. A hymn which we sometimes sing starts like this. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf. All of us have the responsibility to make sure that our lives are meaningful and that they are successful. This is a responsibility that all of us have before God. Thinking of our own country, most Australians are living lives that are separate from God. Most Australians want absolutely nothing to do with God. In our society, God is more and more being put in the background, and this is extremely sad. Most people are concerned with this life only and have little or no concern for the future life. So most people are only concerned with the here and now. Living for this life only will never bring lasting peace and lasting satisfaction. And I want to repeat that. Living for this life only will never ever bring lasting peace and lasting satisfaction. And yet the majority of Australians are living for this life only. Many people would classify themselves as being successful and as being high achievers. For many people, this is true. But it soon passes. And to a large degree is forgotten. Now we can easily recall some of the high achievers of the past, Christians and non-Christians. But on the other hand, most of the high achievers in the past are finished and forgotten, and none of us knows anything about them. Life at best is very brief. On top of that, the Bible has a lot to say about trouble in our lives. Even though our lives are very short, they are full of trouble. The Bible tells us that trouble is something which is common to all of us. You have trouble in your life, and so do mine, and so do I, Christian or non-Christian. Job chapter 5 and verse 7 reads like this: "Yet man is born to trouble." This is what God has to say about the human race. Man is born to trouble. And the verse goes on to say, "As the sparks fly upward." I know about sparks flying. Working with steel, I see sparks flying all day long. And it's caused by friction. We live in a world where there's endless trouble and endless friction. Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Job 14 verses 1 and 2, "Man who is born of a woman is of a few days." Here we have it again, the brevity of life. And what does it go on to say? "And full of trouble. Man comes forth like a flower and then fades away." Most flowers only last a short time. Some a little longer than others. But they soon come into bloom, and then they're gone. Man flees like a shadow and does not continue. So we live a very short life, and the Bible tells us that we live very troublesome lives, all of us. And there are many types of troubles through which we pass. And they include sickness, physical and mental disabilities, family disputes, uncaring parents, rebellious children, deceit, disputes, misunderstandings, slander, gossip, prejudice, persecution, obstinate people, people who won't cooperate, unappreciative people, laziness in people, poverty, financial difficulty, financial ruin, impossible workloads, stress, unemployment. These are just some of the troubles that plague our society. You see, there is no sense in putting all your energy into earthly gain when it simply won't last. With endless trouble, a life without God, or a life with God in the background, will always be one of very poor quality. I ask you again, what is your life? What is the nature of your life right now? What has it been in the past? What is your goal in life? Is your goal in life wealth? Is it worldly success? Is your one and only goal in life a career? Is your goal a life of ease and pleasure? Is it popularity? In goal setting, does Jesus Christ receive any consideration? Does he? In goal setting, does the next life receive any consideration? A lot of people are living for this life only. But the Bible tells us very clearly that there is life beyond death for all of us, whether we want to believe it or not. Do you have a goal in life? If you answered no, well, why not? We have to live responsible, meaningful lives. So how can you achieve something if you don't have a goal? We must have convictions about our life. We must. Just drifting without any real conviction is very, very dangerous and has led many people into trouble. Are you satisfied with the direction of your life? Are you? Or are you largely dissatisfied? Do you believe there's more to life than that which you are currently experiencing? Or do you believe there's got to be something better than what my past has been? Goal. The goal for every Christian should be to know the Lord and to faithfully serve him. Let me repeat that. The goal for every Christian should be to know the Lord and to faithfully serve him. This was the goal of the Apostle Paul. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know him, that is Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. That was his goal in life after he became a Christian. That I may know him. And this is an ongoing process. You don't get to a point where you say, all right, I know God now, so I don't have to think about him anymore. It's an ongoing process until the day you die. Getting to know Jesus Christ better every day and getting to know more of His power in your life, and more knowing something of the sufferings of Christ in your own life. Let's read that passage. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 is where I'll commence. Paul says, "But what things were gained for me, these I have counted loss for Christ." Let's read that again. "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." And here's the verse I've already mentioned. "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Paul further explains his goal in life in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 when he says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet it's not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Paul was a brilliant man, and he could have very easily pursued a brilliant academic career, serving his own interests. But what does he say? "The things that were gained to me, I now count them as loss." He put that behind him to serve Christ. Certainly, Paul used his ability in his ministry for the Lord. Paul used his brilliant mind in his writings. Paul wrote so many New Testament books, and he used his brilliance in his writings. He used his ability in his preaching and teaching. He used his ability in the many great debates in which he was engaged. He could have used them for himself, but he chose to use them for Christ, "that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection." Definitely don't abuse the abilities that you have, but make sure you use them for Christ and not for serving self. Christian, don't waste your life in selfish ambition. Here in Australia, we are dominated by selfish ambition, and it's something which is increasing more and more. I challenge you to be ambitious for Christ and make your life count for Him. Why waste so much time serving self-interest when life is so short and when it's so full of trouble? the brevity and uncertainty of life. In life, there are many uncertainties. But one certainty for all of us is death. The only exception being those who are alive when the rapture takes place. They won't go through physical death, but rather they will be taken home to be forever with the Lord. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 1 says this, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." We have plans for tomorrow, but we have no guarantee that they will come to fruition. Psalm 103 verse 15 reads, "As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes." Verse 16, "For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more." I now want to read some more verses from God's word, from James chapter 4. And I quoted a part of one of these verses at the beginning. James chapter 4, verse 13. "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." Here our life is likened to a vapor, and all of us knows how quickly a vapor disappears. It comes, it's only there for a short time, and then it's forever gone. Don't boast about tomorrow. You see, my dear one, God's ways are not our ways, and God's time is not our time. The psalmist David says in chapter 31, verse 15, "My times are in your hand." Your time is in God's hand, and so is mine. Young or old, none of us knows when death will strike. Many of you will recall the sudden death of Peter Rowe some years ago, and it happened at this time of the year. It was the State of Origin night. I well remember the night. And as one of the elders, I had the responsibility of informing some of the members of this assembly of Peter's death. And I can still recall the stunned disbelief that I received from people as I spoke to them. "My times are in your hand." And none of us knows when death will strike. Life is brief, and life is very uncertain. But whilst we are alive and well on planet Earth, we have the responsibility to make sure that our lives count for God, because that matters more than anything else. Lay up treasure in heaven. The Bible tells us we have a responsibility to provide for our earthly needs. This is a responsibility for all of us, and particularly for husbands and fathers, to provide for earthly needs of his spouse and children. So we have that responsibility. And the Bible tells us that whatever we do, we are to do it heartily as to the Lord himself, as if we were doing it for the Lord himself. because in a sense we are. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. But the Bible commands us, don't store up treasure on earth. Don't store up treasure on earth. We are to provide for our needs, but don't store up treasure on earth. On the other hand, we are commanded to lay up treasures in heaven. I want to read a few more verses with you. Open your Bible with me, please, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19 is where I will commence. Jesus himself is the speaker, and he has this to say. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We lay up treasure through worshipping the Lord and through serving him faithfully. Don't lay up treasure on earth, but on the other hand, lay up treasure in heaven. In my daily work, in my daily occupation, I must have the conviction that I am doing what God wants me to do. Whether it be a housewife homemaker, or a university student, or in employment, or in business, my career, my profession, etc., I must have the conviction that that is what God wants for me. And I serve him in that area. And it's important that we have some conviction about these things. Believing that God has placed me in that position. Now, God has given Trevor and Val Bray a business. And I know for a fact that through that business, Trevor and Val give very generously of both money and time. The Lord has given them that business and they serve him through it. For those who are at university, the Lord has placed you there and serve him through it. In employment, God has placed you there, serve him through it. As a housewife, homemaker, that's where you serve God primarily. Other areas as well, but certainly I'm speaking about dominant areas. Things which take up most of our lives. There should be no such thing as retirement in the Lord's work. Most of us will pass through different areas of service. Years ago, I spent most of my service in Sunday school and working with young people. That was during my teenage years and during my 20s. Now, I'm not so much involved in those areas. I'm now involved in other areas. So most of us do pass through different things as we get older. But the process being from one thing to another, and definitely not from something to nothing. From something to nothing is very wrong. It's very, very wrong. All of us can at least pray. Hazel and Beryl are retired from employment in this world, but they are still very active for the Lord, working very heavily in the work of CYC Burley and in the work of Bethany. Mr. Streeter, he's in his mid-70s. He could easily be seated in his grandfather's chair staring up at the ceiling. But he's not. He's working very hard for the Lord. He drives an old wreck of a car, but he uses it for God. He's very involved in the work of Bethany, in the singing group which visits hospitals. He's very involved in preaching. And this is the way it should be. In fact, if you keep active, you'll enjoy better health than you will if you just sit in your chair and laze about, especially as you get older. God made the human body and the human mind to be used. Definitely not abused, but certainly used. We must serve the Lord all the way through our lives. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And let that really sink into our lives, and myself more than anyone. Having the goal of knowing and serving Christ will mean that I am able to correctly order my priorities in life. We need to have priorities and convictions in life. But having the goal of knowing and serving Christ will help me to get these in order, because everything else I do will centre around that. I will then have conviction about my life's partner. I will have conviction about the way my family is going. I will have conviction about my friends. I will have conviction about my relationships when I have as my goal knowing and serving Christ. That has to be the centre of our lives. And the people who are living the most ordered lives, the Christians who are living the most ordered lives, are the Christians who have that goal. And then God makes sure that everything else falls into its right and proper place. If you honour God, God will certainly honour you and determine the various areas of your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. A conclusion. God desires that our lives be a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12. You see, our real home is heaven. It's not here on planet Earth. Let's live our lives on planet Earth, but preparing for life in heaven. Don't be driven by selfish ambition. On the other hand, be ambitious for Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Get that verse in your mind and live by it. What is your life? What is your goal in life? I challenge you to live your life with spiritual discernment and with wisdom, as we were encouraged in our first reading in Psalm 90.